77-63 in Wisconsin.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah, we've got a dust-up right now. Juwan Howard and Greg Gard, we're going nose-to-nose.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Yo, Juwan Howard just threw a right hand. And now we got a scrub.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I didn't like the timeout being called.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis. Coming up, Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee Dick Vermeil. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Quite a conversation with Jay Billis last hour about what happened in the handshake line at Wisconsin yesterday with Juwan Howard and Greg Gard, the Michigan coach and the Wisconsin head coach. We talked about football with Albert Breer. In hour number one, that there could be some sort of boycott at the combine based on setup there. Phone calls throughout the day, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Chris Brockman, somebody is accused of him having Cheerios with a certain liquid in it today, not being milk. Fans are wondering what got into Brockman today. He's here on this President's Day, hour number three.
I'm making fun of myself in tweet that I'm posting.
Okay, very good. Brockman and Del Tufo in their position. TJ Jefferson, good to see you over there, as always, in hour three.
Pleasure to be here,
Overreaction Rich. Monday is going to be coming up in about 20 minutes' time. I talk all the time about how fortunate I am to be the host of NFL Network from its inception, and I mean every word of it. 2003 is when we came on the air, and the number of people that I've gotten to meet, it's just the journey. It's about journeys and stories and distance traveled. Michael Irvin always likes telling stories like that, and the number of men and women that I've gotten to meet through my job. And their love of the NFL, it just comes through, and it's something I don't take for granted. And I love this man who I'm about to introduce. I mean, truly do adore this man, and getting to know him and getting to meet him and getting to work with him as we did at the Combine years ago. And I just know what football means to this man, and I know what football has also done for this man and his wife, Carol. And their journeys together. And the fact that they are now going to journey to the Pro Football Hall of Fame together means so much to me. And that's the way I wanted to introduce my friend and Pro Football Hall of Famer, Dick Vermeil, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir?
Rich, needless to say, we are floating very high right now. Carol's sitting across from me here in the sun in Key West, Florida, at our daughter's second home, and enjoying time here. And I appreciate very much your kind remarks, and you know the feelings are mutual.
You know, I just know, again, your journey and what you do for what you've done for the sport and for it to finally get recognized like this. I know you say you were floating on air, but I mean, who do you think about when the name Dick Vermeil and Pro Football Hall of Fame are said in the same sentence, Coach?
Well, to be honest with you, I think about the coaches that I have great respect and admiration for that aren't in there yet, and I'm going to try to save them a seat, and I hope I live long enough to see them all get in. Mm-hmm. Because as you know, Rich, we have some very deserving people out there that aren't in there yet, and there's only been 10 coaches put in the last 25 years, so there's room for more. And when people ask me, I think, God, I'm so grateful, but also I'm sorry these other guys aren't already in.
Well, I mean, who was your mentor, Dick, when you first started? Who's that person who gave you the leg up and started to, you know, help you hone your X's and O's? Who's that?
Well, Rick, if it wasn't for a high school coach taking his first head coaching job at Calistoga in 1954, I probably would not be sitting here. You know, he just inspired the hell out of me, and he was so positive about what he thought I could do as a football player. I know I'm a town of, 1,800 people, a school, 130 kids in it, and he tells you, you could play football. And I just love the game, so I decided, well, I'm going to be like Bill Wood. I'm going to go to junior college, catch up. Then I walked on at San Jose State and decided I wanted to be a high school football player. And from that time on, I never turned down a job that looked like a good advancement opportunity. So.
Mm. And then just in terms of who opened your mind off on offense, who was that guy who opened your mind on offense?
Well, I worked at Stanford. Bill Walsh was on the staff. Jim Moore was on the staff. Mike White was on the staff. I was always around, football guys, real football guys. I mean, I've sat around the table with John Madden when we were junior college coaches, you know, these kinds of things. But, you know, then into the NFL, it was Ted Marshall-Broda stimulated me. Roman Gabriel, those two people, my first year in the league in 1969. Howard Snellenberger was on that staff. And I was coaching the special teams as the very first special teams coach ever hired. But I went to all the offensive meetings. And then later on, two years later, I'm back there, offensive coordinator. You know, and then I'd go to Chuck Knox. And you talk about sophistication in the running game and the importance of it and the discipline of it and the fundamentals of teaching it, you know, and these kind of things. And Tommy Prothrow, I learned so much about practice organization and the fundamentals approaching to make players better, the guys that you have, make each one of them better. Tommy Prothrow, you know, and I was so fortunate to do that. Then I get into, you know, my own jobs, and then I bring Sid Gilman with me, you know, and Sid Gilman was like having a walking encyclopedia with you every day. And he coached the quarterbacks on the field. I still ran my own offense and those kinds of things in those days, but he coached our entire offensive staff on how to be better football coaches, as well as improved our scheme, you know. And then, Al Saunders, Mike Martz was just – Mike Martz, nobody did a better job than Mike Martz at first year as a coordinator than he did for us in 1999, you know. And those kind of guys, Jim Hanifin, they were all positive influences on me, really.
Dick Vermeil, Pro Football Hall of Famer here on the Rich Eisen Show. And, you know, when Madden went in, he said the busts talk to each other when the lights go out at night.
That's a great statement.
I know, right? What will your bust say to Madden's when the lights go out, Dick?
I'd say, John, you deserve every accolade you have received since your passing. And I hope everybody said that to you before you passed, so you really know how sincere and meaningful you were to people in the National Football League. You know, he helped me also in broadcasting. I traveled on the bus and that kind of stuff. So, and he was so good to me when I came into the league, because like I said, we met all the way back in junior college coaching days. And he was the first guy that called me when I got the head job at the Philadelphia Eagles and invited me to spend time with him at our first owners meetings. And he spent all his free time with me. You know, and then I get in broadcasting, all of a sudden I'm doing games next to his booth. I'm not live, he is, and myself and Frank Gleiber did two broadcasts on side booths and traveled on the bus with him to the next game. So I have great admiration and respect for the man, you know.
Well, I mean, I honestly, when I heard that, you know, Sean McVay was potentially thinking about going into broadcasting now at age 36 after winning a Super Bowl and getting to his second with the Rams, I honestly thought of Madden and I thought of you, Dick, about, you know, successful coaches talking about burnout, talking about how difficult it is to keep grinding it out, and that broadcasting might be a better way of life. What do you say about that possibility that McVay could be thinking about that right now, Dick?
Well, probably. I hope he doesn't. You know, he's got so much to give to the game. Not that he hasn't already given it to the game, but there's so much in this guy. He's a living football, and I think his mind just sees things so brilliantly as he evaluates what he's going to do and how he's going to prove his scheme and these kind of things. He has so much more to give to the game. And in broadcasting, believe me, it's a lot of fun, and you meet so many wonderful people. And I had such an advantage in that I got to sit in meeting rooms of many, many great coaches, sit in offensive meetings, quarterback meetings, team meetings, talk to teams because of the respect that I had gained as a head football coach. And then I'd go to broadcast the game. Brent and I worked together 8 years, and we'd go in early and spend time with these different coaches. And, you know, it was just I learned some things. I regained some confidence. I said to myself many times, you know, these guys are doing it better than I was doing it. Or from time to time, I'd say, you know, I like how I did it better than they're doing it, you know. But I saw some great coaches. The Bill Snyders at Kansas State is probably as fine a football coach as I've ever seen coach, especially a college football team. Tom Coughlin, when he was at Boston College, I got to know him so well. And what's he do? He gets in the NFL and does a brilliant Hall of Fame caliber job, you know. So I just think Sean has so much to give to the game, and I would be I would be disappointed if he left the game this early, you know.
And it's just amazing how, you know, the Rams winning a championship, hoisting the trophy, and it's the first time in Los Angeles they did it. And, you know, it brought back so many great memories, obviously, of your 99 run. What'd you think of Kurt's movie, Dick? What'd you think of that one?
You know, I liked it. Carol and I hosted it in three different states
before
it really went public. And every time I saw it, I liked it better because I better understood. Because I didn't have a deep insight into his early days prior to getting to me. We brought him there in 98. You know, they left out the first year with the Rams, 1998, as our third quarterback. And that's where I really got to know him and watch him. And Rich, I learned if you're not coaching your own offense or your own defense as a head coach, you see a lot more on the practice field of all your players. And I can remember watching him and it coming off the field from time to time when he just ate our defense alive, thinking, you know, this kid can play or else our defense stinks. What are you? By the time it came to make the decision, was he going to be our starter when Trent Green went down, I had some depth because I watched him 3 days a week throw against our defense. You know, you have a tendency as a coach to not go on what you see. You go on what you hear other people say, and your opinion would be, yeah, he probably can't do that under pressures, running these plays off cards, you know. What would he do in front of 80,000 people? Well, he went beyond everybody's expectations, okay. So that's why he's in the Hall of Fame.
And the movie's beautiful, as you pointed out, yeah. About his personal life and about, you know, Brenda and their son and their kids and the journey, and obviously the scene, you know, where Dennis Quaid is playing you, the "we will rally around Kurt Warner and we will play good football." Did you like? Did you have to psych yourself up to say that? You've believed it in your bones? I mean, that's such a famous speech that's now in the movie history. Dick, what was that?
I really believed it. Plus, as a leader, it's important that you transmit energy that people can believe, your team. Our team was ready to be a good football team. And I told John Shaw prior to training camp in 99, this was going to be a very good football team. And he said, "Coach, don't tell me that. A lot of coaches have told me that before the season." I said, "John, I've been on good teams. This is a good football team." I knew Trent Green had a great feel for Trent, what great job he was going to do. And then, but the background of watching Kurt for a whole season as the third quarterback and throw gave me confidence and my staff's confidence to make him our number two quarterback in the first place in 99. And I knew he would play well. I did not know he would play as well as he did. No quarterback, you can study it any way you want to, no quarterback ever played the first six, seven games of his career and performed like Kurt Warner did. No one has ever.
Yeah. That is the truth, man. There's no question about that. And now, I mean, look at you, Dick. You've had Dennis Quaid and Greg Kinnear play you in movies. Look at you. You're like, you've gone Hollywood. It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, my wife requested it would be, what was that guy's name?
Brad Pitt.
Actors always like Carol. Excuse me. It doesn't come to my mind.
It's okay.
Great actor.
Is it Brad Pitt? It's usually Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt was Brad Pitt. He wanted Brad Pitt.
I love it. Yeah. Oh, man. All right, so now let's get to finishing up the most important questions. First, how's the wine doing, Dick? How's the wine business?
Well,
what's going on with Vermont Wine?
I can say that in 13 years of business, we're in the black, doing well. We've
really?
Got over 425 club members, and it's growing. Our concern now is having lost all our red grapes in the 2020 forest fire due to smoke damage.
Right.
We're going to be short of red wines. The year those are due to be sold and marketed. So we're going to be a little bit behind at that time. But I think Thomas Brown is going to step up and let us move some of his red into our tasting room and supplement club members and that kind of stuff. Andy Jones, our winemaker. So that's going to help us, yeah.
Well, I mean, your wine is phenomenal. I talk about it all the time, Dick. It really is. It's some of the best.
You do.
It's, of course. Yeah. Are you kidding me? The Vermeule wines and it's just terrific. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you saying that. I believe it because we have, you know, our two wine people, Thomas Brown and Andrew Jones, they do a great job. and we have I've been involved with the vineyard, the Freddie Anna Vineyard, all my life. I know that vineyard. It's 107 acres of very old Calico ground that produces wonderful grapes, and so we have a good product. And we don't cut corners, and we didn't go in the business just to make money, because you really can't do that in the wine business like we have, little tiny places. But we went in to make as best the wine as we could make, and right now we're moving that way.
Vermeulewines.com. Everybody should go check it out. It really is spectacular. And then have you sat for your bust yet? Do you know what you want? Do you want Philadelphia era? Do you want St. Louis era? Yeah. What are we going to go for here for the look on your bust?
Well, I'll go in as an Eagle, but with great respect for the Rams and the Chiefs. But, you know, I live in Philadelphia. I coach there. Said I know more of the kids. I still call them kids that I coach. About 18 of them, 17 of them live right there in town, and I see them all the time and have dinner with them, share wine with them. And so I think I would prefer to go in as an Eagle with great admiration and respect for the Rams and Chiefs and brag about being involved with all three of them.
So, but the look of the bust, you'll have the hairline of the Philadelphia era. That's what you're going to have for the bust, the look?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, so I know that they've done all the measurements.
Okay. How great is this? You're doing measurements. This is the Hall of Fame, Dick. It's happening. And it's so deserved. And Kurt's the one who knocked on your door, although Kurt told me that you kind of heard him coming up the driveway, and you and Cal were already out there, pretty much.
I thought it was a UPS delivery. Harold knew they were coming.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And that's how we had our two boys there, because she had our number two son, Rick, David, over there to help. He does our financial stuff and support. Supposedly, we were having a family financial meeting, and she said, "Well, Rick, our oldest son, hadn't had breakfast with us in a long time, so she has him over." I'm sitting there in my old work clothes and black T-shirt and thinking I'm going to be out working, cleaning some wood stuff, because the winds knocked everything down. And
right.
The buzzer in the driveway goes off. I get up. I say, "Oh, UPS is here early." I go out, and here's Kurt Warner walking through the woods in a gold jacket. I knew right away. Hey, I made
it. You made it. And then the question is, as you know, Dick, is there's always a wager amongst the class when they're coming in together. There's always a wager as to who's going to cry first. And I'm guessing that you're just going to make everybody just change that wager, that you'll just make that off the boards pretty much, right? I mean, you know, that's what we're going to be talking about come August.
Yeah, well, that's me. You know, it used to really bother me. Now, you know, all you can be is yourself.
That's it.
And I heard Schwarzkopf one time make the statement on 60 Minutes. He didn't worry about those that cried. He worried about those that didn't. That made me feel pretty good. You got to be yourself, and I have found myself the tears in my eyes many times in my career, but for all the right reasons.
Well, maybe we can get you a Kleenex sponsorship for Canton. Let's work it in your favor, because that's what people want to see. They want to see you be you. And on behalf of everybody, Dick, at the network who's come across you, I always feel confident being able to speak for all of my colleagues. My gosh. Are we just so happy for you and Carol? It is so well deserved. And we loved getting to know you and work with you back in the day. And we kind of feel like, you know, we're going in with you. That's a fact.
I appreciate that very much. And I know you're very sincere.
I mean,
thank you, Rick.
You take care of yourself, Dick. Say hi to your wife and say hi to Carol for me and the rest of the family. And congrats again.
All right. Bye-bye.
You got it. That's Dick Vermeule, everybody. It's himself. He's going to be him. Let's get him a gig. Let's get him a deal. Oh, it's coming. They bet all the time. Who's going to crack first? Who's going to go first?
Dick's
off the board. It's off the board. He's off the board. It's who's going to crack second.
Who's going to go second?
Who's going second? Is it you, Baselli?
Seymour.
You, Lieutenant Weinberg? All right, we'll take a break. Come back, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Overreaction Monday. That's coming up right here on The Rich Eisen Show. But before we do, Callaway Rogue. You should go rogue, folks. Certainly if you want to be long off the tee. The Callaway Rogue ST driver has been built to completely bomb it. It's been speed tuned to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. Every Rogue ST is engineered with a new tungsten speed cartridge, which gives you more speed on off-center hits and provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. But that's just the beginning. Because Callaway has engineered a Rogue ST for every player. Most golfers will fit into the max. I do. Incredible combination of distance and forgiveness. I need that forgiveness because I never square it up. But that's for another time. Max D is their dedicated draw model for players who need more shot shape correction. Now, if you need something more low spin, there's Max LS, which gives you stronger trajectory with a more neutral ball flight. But for the true players out there, Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS is the compact, low-spin head that the tour players love. Look, Callaway has thought through every aspect of speed, so all you have to do is go Rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go-rogue. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Back here in the Rich Eisen Show. I'm good at pickleball.
Well done.
Facts. Let's go to Fred in Mississippi here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Fred?
Hey, what's going on, Rich?
How are you? What's going on? What's on your mind, Fred?
Man, first of all, you guys, y'all are wonderful, man. Y'all keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thanks, brother.
Tell Brockman, man, that short man syndrome, he can just chill with it.
He's taller than Del Tufo. I mean, like, if we were usual suspects, TJ would be the tallest. Brockman, I think, might have me by a half inch, maybe.
We're like Verizon bars.
But at any rate, what's on your mind here, Fred? We're all happy campers here.
Comment on that Juwan Howard situation.
Please.
Well, first, I understand you don't swing at anybody. You know, that's what we was taught as kids coming up, unless they hit you first. But Coach was kind of aggressive when he grabbed him. I mean, he should have just, like you say, saw how mad he was. When he pointed that finger, he should have kept going as a man. But in this day and age, like Sideline Mike said, you can't just grab no grown man like that and not expect them to react in some type of way.
Well, Fred, I appreciate the call. Call back. Please do. Anytime. I'm just looking. Again, I've got the sports mix up here because, you know, we're on the old campus of DirecTV here. Those used to be our benefactors, right? And so I see all what everybody's talking about. It's been literally every 5 minutes seeing the pushing and shoving and the throwing of the hand. It's on a nonstop loop right now.
Football's over. We got nothing to talk about.
But it's worth talking about. I'm not saying it's not worth talking about. I knew as soon as that happened, I'm like, well, I guess I know what I'm talking about when I get back in the chair on Monday.
For sure.
You know? And so, but what I'm saying is, for the school, a dreadful look. An absolutely dreadful, dreadful look that the Michigan Maze Block M is up there having this conversation about it. Completely different from the conversation when Juwan Howard got hired and the job that he had done for the first 2 years in the recruiting. Remember we had him on talking about he was welcoming the McDonald's All-Americans with the five stars on his team, welcome to the club. And I'm like, you weren't just welcoming him to the Wolverines, right? You're welcoming him to the club you used to be in, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's next level ability if you're a coach to recruit. This is the exact opposite. And I'm wondering if Juwan's sitting there thinking, you know what? It's just not worth it. Whatever feeling I got to make sure that, someone is not to touch me and they should understand I am not to be touched. I don't know if that's worth the squeeze here. It's literally every 5 minutes, and it's the way it's going to be for the rest of today. And I understand, you know, news cycles move on, but this will always be there. Truly, during the big, when he returns to the sideline, you'll see that video next time Michigan plays Wisconsin.
What if they play each other in the Big Ten tournament?
It could play in the Big Ten tournament, which appears to be, at right now, as this discussion, Michigan's only path to the tournament basket here. And, I don't know all about quadrant one wins and quadrant two wins, and I'm seeing all of this stuff now. RPI That's used big. To came out of nowhere all those years ago.
Quad one.
You know, I don't even know what Michigan's quad one and quad two, but it ain't good. When and this video is going to be shown for a very long time. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Overreaction Monday. Shall we hit it, please? It may be no NFL, but it still does not matter. There's still so much to overreact to on a Monday. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, what's going on?
We do have one NFL topic, Rich. We'll get to it after some of this NBA off the top. The NBA needs to get rid of the dunk contest.
Fact. Not an overreaction, but I think it needs to, hold on a minute.
Get rid of or revamp? What do you think?
Downgrade it. Like, once again, downgrade it. Three-point contest is the end of the night now.
So not change it, but just move it to it.
Yeah, just like it's not as marquee where everybody's sitting in the front rows and getting ready to be wowed and get out of their chairs, and half the time you're just hearing the music in the arena fill the void of replacement dunks and fifth attempts at a dunk. And here's the rule. The rule is that it hasn't really been an attempted dunk yet because he hasn't had control of it going up. And you're like, okay, got it. And then you see five all-timers or a DJ Khaled sitting there and giving him an 8 or a 9, and it's now bloated. It doesn't work. It's no longer what it used to be, and you just have to face that fact and make it the second part of your All-Star night, Saturday night, and it ends with a three-point shooting contest where clearly anybody at any position can go win it.
I wonder if there's a tweak to be made. I saw a good tweet yesterday about maybe they make it teams and everything has to be alley-oops. Like, just some sort of format tweak instead of just...
We've just seen it
either
all.
Either scrapping it or...
I mean, honestly, we've just said, what, old school is a 19-year-old movie. How old is the dunk contest now? Is it 30 years old? Is it coming up on 30 years old?
I would say 35 years
right?
old.
Right. So
over 30.
Over 30 years old.
Talking like
85. So we've seen it. We've seen it now 84. For three decades of dunks. An all-time greats dunk. The all-time greats don't participate in this anymore.
That's too bad. All right, the news kind of before the All-Star game was that Chris Paul has a thumb issue that's going to keep him out at least 2 months.
You can say subluxation.
I can't.
Okay.
I can't do that, actually. My overreaction here is CP3's injury is going to cost the Suns a title shot.
I'll say that's an overreaction. 6 to 8 weeks means my Dubs get the one seed.
Right.
So why can't he win a game seven?
I'll tell you why, Oakland. Rich. I'll tell you why.
Why? Because he'll have a soft tissue injury at the worst possible time.
Because he had it out of the way.
Because
already.
He hasn't done it yet. Something like this always comes up for Chris Paul.
Yeah, but look, Chris, he got it out of the way early this time. It's not like during.
So he got his devastating playoff injury out of the way.
I'm not even trying to be funny, but like, yeah, usually it's during the playoffs. Something weird happens.
Yeah, they've run out of time. At least he's got the runway of time this time around.
Yeah, playoffs start in 7 weeks.
It's an overreaction
right
now.
He might be back in 8. So, yeah, hopefully this was the injury that he always gets and he got it out the way.
It's too bad. Like, Phoenix is primed to win the whole thing right now.
They are, but 2 months from now is what? Middle of April anyway? Yeah. They can win a couple of games without him in the playoffs and get him back and then get him. I'm not going to say that that's the end of that, but, you know, they might have to win a couple of playoff games on the road more than they would have had he not gotten injured.
That's true.
So I'll just say that's I'll just say there's lots more basketball to go here. So,
all right, here's one. Bear with me here. Two things. One, did you notice that LeBron tried to hijack All-Star Weekend by saying that he would welcome a return to the Cavs? Mm-hmm. Did you notice that? Okay. Did you also notice that when they did the 75th anniversary team introductions, who got the loudest ovation in Cleveland? So my overreaction is Jordan getting the loudest ovation is a sign to LeBron that Cavs fans don't want him back.
That's a good one, Matt.
Come on, man.
That's a good one.
Cavs fans don't want him back. Why would they welcome him back? Left you twice, and you now have a winner, a young winning team in Cleveland that can make some noise
right here
and there. And LeBron is just going to attach himself to your coattails?
Here's what I think LeBron is talking about one more time with the Cavs. I think that would be his choice for Bronny.
Perhaps. Yeah.
And a place for him to go. Where he goes back to the Cavs one last time to finish up his career. Like, if he had his choice as to where he and his son could have that 1 year, that Griffey year together, I would think he'd choose the Cavs. Because it's home, it's homecoming. And that by then, it's 3 years from now, right? Haven't we decided that?
Yeah, Bronny's a junior in high school.
So
right
by
now,
so 3 years by now, they could get Bronny, and then he'd be just like the veteran, just there as dad, running things. Don't you think that's where you would choose it? Do you think it would be L.A.? Do you think it would be Miami? Or just for the homecoming, hometown sake, that's what he's thinking
Cleveland's
about.
Cleveland's not home for Bronny, though. This is probably more,
L.A.'s for home. What if it's the Clippers draft Bronny? Would LeBron really suit up for the Clippers? Would Genie let him?
Why would he? He's going to do this with whoever.
Don't you think at some point he's only going to do 1 year deals just to make sure he's available?
And like I said, I've said that for years.
Which team would say no, LeBron? You may not come here for just 1 year. We need more years. Who would say no to that?
I think he can do whatever
he damn well pleases.
It's going to help raise Bronny's draft status because he's going to get drafted higher than he should.
What a diabolical concept you have come up with here Cavs fans cheering for Jordan more than LeBron means we don't want you here.
Yeah. And LeBron hijacked it so much, he hit the game-winning shot.
He had to play hero ball in his hometown.
Oh, my God. Come on, bro.
How about this hot take?
Yeah.
If the Clippers...
Is this another one, or you're just coming or you're riffing
now?
No,
I'm riffing now.
Okay.
If the Clippers draft Bronny, right, and LeBron goes and plays for the Clippers, that guarantees he won't get a statue outside of Staples.
Because the Clippers will be in their new home down the road from the Rams and the Chargers.
And Genie will be like, you went and played for the Clippers. We're not giving you a Lakers statue.
That's fine. Then outside of the new Clippers arena, we shall
erect
the statue to LeBron.
The first and Kawhi.
Dude, they used to hang banners of Olawa Candy, right?
Hey, never Olawa Candy.
Oh, pardon me. That's wrong, right? They would hang big pictures of Blake DeAndre and Chris Paul. Yeah. Right, just to cover up all the Lakers banners
Which
and Taylor Swift's banners.
Yeah. I love that.
That's what they used to do.
Get that stuff out of here.
All right, what else you got?
Clipper Nation, let's go.
All right, here's
we got bogged down by that insanity.
I thought it was pretty good.
Okay.
NFL topic here. The big story from the weekend, Brian Flores joining the Steelers staff. This means that the Steelers are in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes.
Oh, that's crazy.
Because we all know that Brian Flores really wanted Deshaun in Miami. I'm connecting dots
here. I don't know if Brian Flores really wanted Deshaun in
Miami.
Mike
Tomlin says they want to get more mobile.
I don't think anybody knows what the Deshaun Watson stuff in Miami was all about, other than Stephen Ross really wanting him, maybe. Don't you think Flores in the middle of all that, and they're coming back from 1-7 down, and they're winning games, and then all of a sudden Stephen Ross goes and gets permission to meet with another quarterback at the trade deadline? How that must have sat in the head coach's office. Like, what? So, okay, so we're going to get him. We're going to bring everything here that he's bringing here with his baggage, and I'm going to have to get him up to speed in the middle of all this right now. That's really what we're going to do?
I
don't think the Steelers are in the honestly, what the new GM's going to, or Kevin Colbert, before he goes out the door, is going to trade all the draft capital of his successor to go to get the Texans to bring him, to send Deshaun Watson to Pittsburgh? I don't know, man. Of the teams that are going to make a big swing at quarterbacks, the one that would surprise me the most would be Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
They're already talking. Did you see Colbert was talking about Mason Rudolph today?
I did see that.
Hold on. Here's the quote.
We have the tweet, too, from Kobe Kinkabwala.
Go for it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
hold on. I wasn't ready for that.
I'm sorry. Keep going, then. Keep going. What else?
All right, what else? Some golf here. Great weekend of golf here in L.A. At the Riviera. A lot of talk surrounding it about this Saudi Super League Phil's talking about some crazy quotes. Everyone's wondering if DJ or Bryson's going to go. They said no. The Saudi Golf Super League will have a shorter life than the Euro Soccer Super League.
Well, it doesn't have. It hasn't existed yet,
that's
right?
That's my point. It's over. It's over before it started.
I don't know.
At least the Soccer Super League lasted, what, 2 or 3 days?
Yeah. The fact that, geopolitically, this country has done all sorts of terrible, awful things. But you know why I'm actually want to be in business with them? Because this is a great opportunity to stick it to the PGA Tour. It's a horrible take.
Not great.
That's as bad a take as you could hear in a very long time.
Not great from Phil.
No overreaction there.
And this one, and the last one, guys, is a baseball. Not much baseball talk these days, but this story did come out, and I just wanted to address it. There's no overreaction. I'm just making a statement, okay?
Yes.
Juan Soto turned down $350 million before the lockout.
Because he wants $500 million.
Because he wants to go play for the Metropolitan. Listen to me. Listen to me now. Write it down. Take a picture. 11:40 on whatever the day is, 2/21/22. Just remember I said it to you. Just remember I said this to you.
So he turned down all that money.
$350.
Because he knows he could get more from the Mets, and he wants to play for the Mets.
He wants to go play with Francisco Lindor, who I believe is one of his best friends.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Good Lord.
Hey, Uncle Stevie's got cash.
Yes, he does.
Aditi Kinkabwala quote, Kevin Colbert says, quote, if we started the season today, Mason Rudolph would be our starter.
Yeah.
So I might be all in on the Deshaun Watson then.
Said that Mason is 5-4-1 in his first 4 years as a starter. Excited to see what's next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't, you know what's next? Him not starting for these guys.
A different quarterback? Yeah.
That sounds like a general manager who is going out the door and doesn't think at all how this plays with the fan base. I do not know a single Steeler fan that is either A, happy to give Mason Rudolph the opportunity to see if he could be the guy that they all thought he could be. Remember when Mason Rudolph got drafted and Big Ben basically said, it's not my job to be Mr. Chips and show him the playbook and everything like that? And we were all like, oh, God.
Okay.
So maybe now that Ben's gone, Mason can be given the opportunity and this will be the moment for him. I don't know a single Steeler fan who's thinking that. Or B, I don't know a single Steeler fan that isn't thinking, let's use this Big Ben retirement as an opportunity to totally remake the position in terms of what the Steelers haven't done at the position for a few years. And I think you heard Tomlin say earlier that in January that mobility at the position is something that is a plus.
Yeah.
So Mason Rudolph today could be that guy, and then Dwayne Haskins could be that guy for today. But the Steelers aren't playing football today. And I don't think any Steeler fan would be happy if those were the two battling it out in Pennsylvania come late July. There best be some other people there, either drafted in late April or somehow brought in less than 4 weeks from now. This is all happening in the next month, folks.
Maybe someone who wears number four, I'm just saying.
I don't think Deshaun Watson is going to come to Pittsburgh. This acquisition, should Deshaun clear his decks and prove himself to be a viable quarterback in this league because he's now a viable citizen walking the planet, that the Steelers would be willing to trade this year's first, it would be multiple first-round picks. You would basically be looking at Les Snead and thinking he's got more first-round picks than us. That's how many first-round picks it would cost. I don't think the Steelers want to do that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Don't miss this next segment. I don't know how it's going to go. How's that for a tease?
Oh, I mean, is this the thing you didn't want to tell us about?
That's correct. I don't know how this is going to go.
All right.
It could be terrible or it could be glorious.
There's no in between.
There's definitely no gray area for this one at all.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Now, there are stories that pop up, and I'm like, you know what? I got to talk about this with the guys on the show. And then this one made me think I've got to bring it up with the guys on the show, but it's very touchy subject.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know how it's going to go. So I waited till the end of the show, so if it stinks, we're just getting out of Dodge.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, because we won't bring it up tomorrow.
It's an Olympic story.
That's good coaching. Oh.
It's an Olympic story. Have you guys heard of the Finnish cross-country skier Remy Lindholm? Here he is.
No.
I've heard of the rapper Remy Ma.
Okay, now if he looks cold, he does.
Yeah, it looks really cold.
If he looks cold, it's because he was.
Okay.
The 50-kilometer race that was being raced over the weekend was shortened to 30 kilometers because it was so damn cold. And
how
they were
cold
nervous.
Was it?
They were how cold
how
was it?
Cold.
How cold was it? Well, the headline will just sum it up. Cross-country skier suffers frozen penis in mass start race.
What?
Okay.
What is this?
This is a story.
Like,
this is a Reuters story. This is an actual story. Yeah, I said the word once. It doesn't need to be said again. It's kind of like that Seinfeld episode.
But this isn't like a euphemism. It's like his actual...
Didn't break off.
Afterwards, he told the Finnish media, "You can guess which body part was a little bit frozen when I finished. It was one of the worst competitions I've been in. It was just about battling through."
What?
Hold on a minute. There he is battling through. There he is.
Oh, the pain.
Lindholm explained that he used a heat pack to try to thaw out his appendage once the race was over. Quote,
that probably hurt.
When the body parts started to warm up after the finish, said the Finn, the pain was unbearable.
Huh. Couple questions.
I haven't finished with the ultimate.
There's more? But there's more.
Oh, God.
There's more.
Okay.
This thing is what really caught my eye, other than the
Not the thing, but the thing in the story.
Not his thing.
Here we go. According to Reuters, Lindholm spent just under an hour and 16 minutes traversing the course in howling, freezing winds, leading to his becoming frozen for the second time in a cross-country skiing race.
Wait a second.
Following a similar incident in Ruka, Finland last year. This has happened to the man twice.
Wait a second.
Now.
Wait.
Oh, no.
Fool me once.
Shame on me.
Shame on
you.
You.
Fool me twice.
We can't get fooled again.
Yes. To quote the famous rock band, Del Tufo can't even he can't even handle it. I don't need
I'm looking for a drop.
Okay. So was this fella. Now, I mean, don't you think if it's happened once and it's cold outside,
you would take I don't know if aerodynamics is key in this race or not.
Yes.
Wouldn't you make sure that area
somehow gets
a little
padded?
Well, a little more warm than maybe the rest of your body?
Because it's high on my damn agenda.
Yes, it would be.
Well, that's, true.
There you go.
Oh, man.
So, yes, that's another thing he could have said.
I mean, long johns.
So there's all of that. That's an Olympic moment.
The hand warmers.
Remember they used to say you'd use one of those.
Attach some of the hand warmers, maybe.
Remember that they always had those features where you'd meet people up close and personal. This is a little bit too much.
Jack with you today.
Don't you think, like, after the race, like, nobody's asking you how that is?
No.
Why would you share this information?
You are letting that be known.
Especially since it's happened to you twice.
Yeah, that's the thing I can't get over. Because you know what won't happen to me twice?
That.
Freezing my guy. It just won't happen twice.
Frozen guy.
There you have it.
Wow.
This Olympic moment.
I'm glad I did not look that up, Austin. That's amazing.
He won the gold. Did he win?
No.
All that for nothing?
Hold on a minute. I guess this is the kicker.
Like, so he keeps
Here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. The subhead, if you will. Remy Lindholm needs a heat pack after finishing
28. So he basically went
to the NFL. I'm afraid to find out how many were in the field.
30.
I don't know. I'm hoping there was at least a 29th skier out there.
So frozen for 28?
So he almost Lorena Bobbitted himself.
Hey, stop.
For 28th place.
Oh, my God. It was like this is why I was concerned about talking about this.
It was runnings were like the just broke off.
Definitely. There was not a cool running.
Like a Johnny Dangerously.
All right, that'll wrap it up. Back to you, Rich.
Back
Thanks
to
for
you,
taking
Rich.
In this edition of the Rich Eisen Show.